I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of C3 Church Global Podcast. My name is Phil Hubbard, and I am the C3 Church Global Communications Manager and Lead Pastor here at C3 London. And it's my pleasure to introduce you today to this equip session where we're going to be talking about all things events and running great events in church life. And we have a few of the absolute guns from around our movement, all the best of the best here to talk to you about running and planning great events. So I'll just quickly introduce everybody. We have our C3 Church Global Conference Director from The Outpouring, Jacob Leung, is with us. Hello, Jacob.
Hey, guys.
And he's also you've been running events at C3 SYD for over 10 years now, so bringing a lot of experience. Yeah. And then his former colleague, I guess, in many ways, and now the creative director at C3 Toronto, Chrissy Forbes. Welcome, Chrissy.
Why, hello.
Good to have you. And then we'll stick in the Americas. We've then got the associate pastor of C3 Atlanta, Sarah Shackelford, with us.
Hey, everybody.
And then last but definitely not least, we have my good friend from C3 Europe, Hans. I don't know how to say your last name, Hans. So
don't
you
even
can
try
say it
don't work.
No, I didn't even check that bit. No, but Hans is the administrator for C3 Europe as a region and is also the event director for our C3 Europe regional gathering. So he is a gun in that space and also helped Jacob with the outpouring recently with all that stuff that was going on in Singapore. So I might start there with the two of you, Hans and Jacob. How was the outpouring? How was Singapore?
Singapore was an incredible event. Never have I experienced a truly global C3 conference like what we had. It was just so well represented. It was so much fun. And I think everybody really just loved Singapore. The team was truly global. And yeah, it was just such a memorable experience. I loved every minute of it. I didn't want it to end.
And how was it for you, Hans? I know that Yeah, it was great.
I know that Jacob said I didn't want to end, but my feet pretty much did want to end eventually. it was amazing. It's working with this team and with all the people, putting it all together, all in their expertise. It's a blessing to be part of such a team. And the experience was something I've never experienced before. And my first global conference, it was epic. It was really epic. So really grateful to be part of that one.
Yeah, really cool. And all the feedback post-conference has been best conference ever. And, you know, I think a huge win for us as a movement. And so showed who we are as a movement globally, so wonderfully and beautifully. So well done, Jacob and Hans, and to all the team that gathered. I think that event team was made up of people from about 9 or 10 different countries around the movement, which is brilliant. So to see that conference pulled off in that regard and in a country that none of us live in either was just sensational. So well done, Jacob and Hans and the whole team. So I guess from off the back of that, we just really want to have this conversation today around events and event planning in church. I think, you know, church is definitely not an event company, but a lot of our time is running and organizing and planning events, whether that be internal events for our teams or events that are also about, invitation and bringing people to church, or also in some of our cases within the C3 movement is gatherings and conferences where churches are coming together and working together. So I thought it would be a great conversation for us to have. If you're an event manager, if you're a church administrator, if you're working in youth or different generations in church, just to really lean into this conversation and to gain some wisdom from the experts in the field in this room. These guys on this call have done incredible jobs over many years with multiple scales of different events. So lean in and gain wisdom from this podcast. So, but I might start with you, Jacob, as the as the extraordinaire that you are in terms of event managing, you know, and I won't put the pressure on too much. But I guess when you think about being an event manager and you've been doing that at SYD, you've been running presence conferences, the recent global conference, as an event manager, can you just give us some keys to, I guess, what that looks like when you start an event and looking to run an event? What's the keys to being a great event manager in the context of church?
Yeah, in the context of church, I think it's always about identifying the wins. And obviously you will have different wins for different events. So Christmas is a very different win to your church conference, as an example. So that's probably always been the first thing that I've always wanted to try and get from the senior pastors. Like, what are we measuring here for it to be a win? And so that's probably the number one thing, because that really helps determine your roadmap moving forward. Is it super for trying to get new engagement from visitors? Are you trying to expand like growth in terms of connect groups? So I've always found that to really identify what the win is, that's probably your first starting point. And everything else really flows from that as a good anchor to the event. Further from that, like always with any event, large or small, you need to be working with a really tight budget. You need to have a great org chart, org structure, which is sometimes different to a communication chart. From my experience of, like, because I think it's really important to note, I'm originally from a small church of 50 that also looked after events. And then when I moved to Sydney to do bigger scale events, it's still the same principles apply to event management. It doesn't really matter the size. So I think it's that obviously there's something a bit more complicated, but I think an org chart, and with an org chart comes empowerment. So people know which lane to really run in, what they own. So for me, they're the key parts. Things like run sheets, creative items, they're like the cherry on top of an event. It doesn't like the great moments, but for me, it's looking at like probably the core, and some of those things are really strategic and structural that really help the success or not success of an event is really achieving those things.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. I guess off the back of that, Chrissy, I know, you know, you've been part of large scale conferences like Presence over the years, and you've worked in many different areas of those events, and obviously as a creative director, so you're often pulling together lots of different people to then make that vision for and the win of that conference work in so many different ways. And obviously we know the key to that, especially within church, is building a team, right? So because you may have some staff, especially and in different church contexts, there's you know, more or less, but then you're also working with a lot of volunteers and people who are just putting up their hand to be part of making these events happen. So can you talk into that a little bit, I guess, bouncing out of what Jacob said there in terms of pulling together a team and building a team and what you'd be looking for when you're starting to plan an event?
Totally. I mean, I think the very first thing is that people are attracted to vision, not a task. And so I think that you have to be able to communicate vision really clearly and give them, like, why does this matter? Why are we doing this? Because if people don't understand that, they either will sign up and drop out or they just won't sign up at all. And so I think being able to communicate that as a leader is really important. And then bringing the culture, so that, like, our culture of C3 and all of those aspects of that, like, obviously being, like focused on like the Holy Spirit and bringing the presence of God into everything right. that we mm. do, I think is super important. Having fun mm. is really important. That's like a huge part of our culture, creatively innovating. And so bringing all of that into a team environment, I mean, that's something Jacob does really well, that I know from like watching him is like, it's always fun. And yes, it's a lot of work, but there's, right. there's like camaraderie around that. And people want to feel like they're part of something that's winning. So I think making sure that we're inviting people into something that is actually going to be incredible. And that we're not just, you know, we're not just bringing people in just to do something. And so I think if we have that mindset, we'll instantly be able to attract people, because people are attracted to vision and passion. And so being excited about that, I'm always looking for people that are willing, that we can train people. There's so many things that you can train people in. Yeah. So I think having the willingness, I'm never manipulated by someone who has a skill set, but are doing it on their own terms. Yeah. I'm like, you know, that's like, I hate when people are using their skill set to hijack something.
Right.
But I'm like, I don't need someone that bad, that we need to succumb to that. So I'll always like choose someone that's got the willingness over a skill set, but has to do it on their own way. And so I think that's really important, especially in a small church environment, because it can be really easy to be like, but I really need that person. But honestly, you really don't, because it's better to have someone that's willing and have things. Maybe they're not going to be as high tech or as brilliant as they could be if you had someone that was really skilled. But man, you're going to have a much better experience for everyone, including the team, if they're just like willing people. So I would say always pick someone like with a heart to serve over someone who has a skill set that's holding it over you. And in a small church environment, I think that's really important. And so bringing people along the journey and keeping them up to date on like what's happened, like really good communication is what will keep people. People that just feel like they're just a hired hand, but not paid. Like they're not going to stick around because if you don't have enough respect to be able to keep people in the loop on communication, and what's actually happening, how are we winning? Like, you know, Jacob talked about identifying the wins, but if we don't communicate that to the team and they don't know that we're actually winning, they're not going to want to keep going. So I would say those are just a couple of things that really help to like to gather a team and then to keep them.
Yeah, beautiful. No, I love that. And I think where I've seen that work really well, obviously Lucy and I are based in London, but we get to work with the incredible Hans and, you know, and our C3 Europe regional gatherings, which he oversees. Like, and I know Hans, that for you and building a team is kind of got some extra layers, because I think what have we got in Europe? Like 18 different nations.
Yeah.
You talk a little bit to kind of how that comes together for a Europe conference?
I think where... especially for me, at least within Europe, working with all the different cultures and different languages, where sometimes just the language itself can already be a barrier. It's so important to understand the why and the when, because the volunteers will have to adapt to each other because they have different ways of doing, they have different experiences in the local churches, but you do want to create a team. And you can only do that when everyone understands their why and their when. And then you create like bond. And it's that fun that Chrissy mentioned is so key, because if they're not laughing together, they're not bonding together, you know? So laughter is one of the biggest and easiest way to bond a team together. And building and bringing it all together means that you will run an event with a team that loves to work together. And there will be gaps. If you're in a bigger environment, a smaller environment, there are always those moments that someone needs to fill in a gap. And when you're a team and everybody knows the win, somebody will step up and help out on that moment. They will feel empowered to say, hey guys, we got this together, we can do this. And I believe that, especially with a gathering like what we do in Europe, if the team is able to get that, to understand that, anyone coming to the event will feel it. Because if you're at the door and you have a big smile, and then the next person you meet is laughing, the next person is having a nice conversation, anyone coming into anywhere, if it's small or big, they feel that energy, they feel and that anticipation, it grows. And that's key, because for me, it doesn't start when the worship starts. It starts already at the moment they arrive at the building, at the car park, and it only finishes when you actually leave the car park. So I always really encourage teams, say, hey guys, it's not all about the worship. It's not all about the speakers, even though that's amazing and really important. You have a really key part of adding to the complete experience of anyone coming into an event. And for me, that means I need to have the biggest smile. I need to be the biggest encourager, because if I do it, I'll understand that anyone within the team will start doing it as well. And you get that domino effect. And that's for me always been the focus point, because bonding and inclusiveness is for me more important than the show or whatever you want to do, because you want to build community.
Yeah.
I think the thing too that's almost unique to events, when you talk about other kind of parts of church life, is that there's such, like, you know, the event, like, there's such like a pinnacle, you know, you're in the middle of Singapore, you're in the middle of your regional conference, like there's such like these pinnacle moments, and the team that has worked together to get there for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months down the track knows so much, you know, about all the things it took to get to that point. And so I always think too that events, almost more than anything else, can be such a thing that locks people in to the church, you know, like, you know, that you see these, you know, people who came in just as volunteers, like willing, I'll put my hand up. And when the event is done, they're like, when are we all getting our matching tattoos? You know, we're C3 for life. And so I think that is a little bit unique to our church space versus, you know, being in a corporation, a corporate world, is that we really have this opportunity, not just to put on a great event for our church and not just to welcome in the guests and not, but of course, obviously we want to do all those things. But on the backside of it, I think there's such a great opportunity to realize that, you know, so many of our people can really get plugged in, like at such a deeper level through events, because, you know, it's kind of trial by fire in so many ways. But you just know each other so much deeper. It's so, you know, it's different than just the Sunday morning, you know, kind of doing the thing, right? Yeah. And so I think just remembering that it's such an amazing opportunity for development. You know, and I've just seen people in our own churches, right? Like they came in one way, literally they jump on your team and you're like, man, they're awesome. By the time the event's done, you're like, wow, they could run the next thing. And that's pretty exciting, because I think you really see people just submit themselves into the house of God because of that event. So it's like, there's always like multiple reasons for doing the event, you know, what's the why? And I think one of them always has to be, no matter what the win is for attendance or metrics or guests, I think one of the wins has to be, you know, man, how many people did we now develop, or how many people did we really submit into being a part of this moving forward? Because I think that's just one of the incredible byproducts of being a part of events.
Yeah, it's really being people over process, right? It's just seeing the people and build them. Yeah. So good.
I would actually speak off the back of that and just say, if you're an event director, it's not all on you to build the team, especially in a small church environment, is like, find those key people that are passionate about what you're doing and empower them in specific areas to go and develop team themselves. Because then you're building them, because they're getting their leadership skills built. But it's also just not all on you to have to find every single person that's going to serve at the event. Find those key people. It's like starting fires all over the church, and in a good way.
good fires.
Yeah, good fires. But they'll attract people if they're really passionate about it. They'll be able to build the team for you and then find people that can help do that.
And I think just on the back of that is that when we don't empower, and we do it all, what you find is you become a bit of a unicorn. And so it's so hard to replace unicorns.
Yeah.
and what you find is when somebody like that from a team that actually has carried so much, it's almost impossible to replace. So you need to, you really want to replace roles and not people. I think in church, when we have smaller teams and stuff like that, we're just like, oh, that person's great. I'm going to give you X, Y, Z instead of just giving you X. But then one day that person might have a baby, might move away, things like that. That means that, you know, we have to now replace that. And it's just, it's way more challenging to replace someone that's doing so many different roles. So I think it's, it is a trap within the church that we kind of lose empowerment because we find somebody that can do it all, but that's not actually the best solution. The best solution is finding someone that can empower others.
Yeah.
Very good. Absolutely.
Oh, I love that. And I, you know, because especially as the church, like, the end goal and the end product is discipleship.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's people. It's people being formed into the image of Jesus. We're not an event company. We're not there just to put on a spectacular event and get the registrations in and meet budget. There's actually a spiritual result and a formation result that's the big part and the ultimate goal of why we do these events, right? Whether that be whether that be people coming into church meeting Jesus, or whether it be a leadership conference and people walking out with, you know, feeling equipped and empowered and grown.
Hey everyone, I believe in the local church. Ever since we started our church way back in 1980, we've been planting churches all around the world in major cities, villages, towns. And we have seen ourselves plant churches now in over 60 nations in the earth. Last year, we planned to plant 20 churches, and we ended up planting 45. This year, we're going to plant another 42 churches. I'd like to invite you to become a partner with us in this grand plan that God has called us to, planting His magnificent church all around the world. It's not an inexpensive exercise to plant churches. It costs a lot to support pastors when they're just starting out, and their families and their structures, their circumstances, renting houses, needing a car. And in some of these places, they're very poor. And we want to help them rise up and plant great churches in their nations. You can help us by jumping over to our website, C3 Church Global, and there you will find a giving section, and you can give towards helping us plant churches all around the world. I'm praying for you that as you give, the blessing of God will rest upon your life in abundance. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
And so I guess, you know, along that same vein of, you know, we've talked about, you know, knowing the when and knowing the why of an event, you've then got the bits of an event that come afterwards, the follow-up of an event, and those key aspects. So Chrissy, I might just lean into you from a, like a C3 Toronto, like local church context, when you're running an event, you know, and I know there's based on the when and the why, there may be different aspects of what that is, but could you talk generally into what you're looking for in terms of that follow-up of an event?
Yeah, totally. We have like regular meetings about this. Every event that we do would involve quite a lengthy discussion about how are we going to collect people's information and how are we following up on it? What are we asking them to do? And so that could look anything like we're collecting their information through maybe they're RSVPing for the event. Maybe there's free tickets available for the event. Maybe we're getting their details as they take a goodie bag or something like that, that there's all different, or a Connect card. There's all different ways. And we never just have one. I think if you're relying on one method of collecting people's information, you're already setting yourself up to fail. Because we'll have hosts walking around with QR codes or different things. Like there's multiple ways that we can get people's information. But then we have our follow-up team that are sitting down. So it might be that they're getting a text message to say, hey, it was so great to see you today. Thanks for coming. And then they can opt in to receive more follow-up from there. We're sending them like an email midweek to say, to welcome them from our location pastors for whatever location they visited, and giving them a little bit more information about the church, especially if it was an Easter event or something that involves families. Right. We're giving them information about our kids program, because that's what they want to know about. Their kids just had the best time at our church. So we want to let them know that this happens every Sunday. And so we're giving them information about that. And then on Saturday, if they've opted into those, like, to those emails, we're saying like, hey, we hope to see you at church tomorrow. Here's a reminder of like the information. So there's some kind of follow-up. It could be also that they're getting a phone call as well from our team, so that we're actually connecting with them. And that makes a huge difference. I know when I've done follow-up calls, people are surprised because no one calls people anymore. No one picks up the phone to say, hey, I just actually wanted to hear about how your experience was. And that can lead to like a further conversation. So I think being able to have a really clear plan, and not just that the event planners are clear on, but the entire team are clear on, here's how we're following people up. So I think that's really important that the entire team know that.
So good. I think that's just further to that. An event is not owned by the events team or the event person. If it's not being owned by the entire church, you shouldn't be putting that event on. You're setting up to fail. That's not a clear win if it's only owned by one department, one person. Because like Christmas is a good example. Great, we had a great Christmas event. There's no follow up. There's no next step. There's no salvation altar call. There's no kids experience. Like, why are we doing it? It's a waste of time and money.
That's a good thought. And I guess, is there a follow-up from that? Are there ways, maybe Sarah, like in C3 Atlanta, that you have helped create that buy-in from your church in terms of an event? So you're not just like putting out marketing to people coming in, but there are there ways as a church community and as a team that you've helped your church own those events as they come up?
I think that's always our goal. To what Jacob's saying, if it's just the events team, then that's not a win. And then even if it's just the staff, well, that's not really a win either, because your people need to know why we're doing this. And you know, you can find that people, there's obviously quite a wide variety in your audience, you know, in your congregation. So, you know, with everything we're doing, we're thinking, well, who are the people who have no clue what this event is, right? And that's obvious. That's oftentimes, for people who have been on staff for 20 years, they really have to get into that mindset. Like, no, think you just came here 6 months ago and you've never heard about the summer conference we've been putting on for 15 years. You know, don't assume that people know what it is.
Yeah.
So talking to that segment of people, well, how do we get them? Well, it's probably not an announcement. Sure, that's exciting, but really it's probably a story. It's probably them hearing about life change, things that have happened because of this event, you know? So that's what we're always trying to capture is them hearing from someone that's not paid about why this would be an incredible event. And then on the flip side, you know, sometimes you've got people who have been in church so long and, you know, take it for granted really. And so it's almost, you know, you're doing the same thing, but the other way, like you're restoking the fire to go, hey, let's not just be doing this out of routine, but this is the why. And so I think just pinpointing, and then also people like who have been around for a long time, but maybe are, you know, a little bit more on the fringe. Well, what's the part of the event that's really going to get them to come? So a lot of times we're marketing for kids specifically, you know, because if your kids really want to come, then the parents will come too. And so what are we going to do for kids at the event? How are we going to make sure that they know, you know? So in terms of that, you know, we're putting like stickers on kids as they come up to events, so that when they leave home, they're literally just like a walking, when they leave church, they're like a walking advertisement. So I think it's kind
amazing.
Of identifying these different kind of segments within our congregations and making sure that we're, you know, not just putting information out, because, you know, it can feel like that. And obviously we need the information to go out. But it goes out on social, it goes out in our newsletter, it goes out in our Connect group announcements, it goes out in all the things. And I think that's great. But I think beyond that, people, you know, it becomes white noise. And so I think trying to get stories as much as possible to really help the church understand, hey, this is why we're doing this. And if we're asking you to bring somebody, if we're saying, hey, bring your neighbors, well, we want you to know why, you know, like this is what our goal is. And this is what we believe will happen if you make this a priority. But just realizing that there's, you know, different people on the journey. So we're not just only focused on brand new people, and we're not only focused on people that have been there forever, but we're really segmenting it out and going, okay, now how are we going to reach these people? Now, how are we going to reach these people? I think that really is a big part of getting that buy-in church-wide for whatever it is.
Really good.
Yeah, brilliant. How have you done that at SYD, Jacob?
In terms of like stories and stuff like that, I guess like it's been really important for us. And there's been a massive shift. I think we got a lot of us have already covered in on it, but it's looking at like the Unstuck Church book is amazing. It actually has a whole paragraph a whole chapter on like a healthy event and unhealthy event. Some of like the unhealthy events is like we're just getting people to show up, when actually the win is getting people to come and take a next step. The target audience is people who have already been connected. So the people that have been coming to church for the past 20 years, actually the point of the event is not that, it's to get new people coming and experiencing church.
Right.
Staff teams run the event in an unhealthy church event. It's volunteers should be running it.
Yeah.
Another one here that they've got, which I thought was just super, yeah, it was great. You capture pictures and videos to share of the event, but it's actually capturing videos and stories to share about the impact of the event.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Another thing that I've found is always just the communication really challenging, because we're always talking about something on a Sunday. So we made it really intentional that we only talk about one thing as an announcement on a Sunday. It could be prayer week this week, connect week, but there's only one thing that we're pointing people to each Sunday. Otherwise, everyone just turns off and doesn't listen. I think the other thing is just we put these events on and we schedule them every year. The question would be like, are we scheduling this because we've just done it historically, or are we scheduling it because it's actually seeing really good fruit and great results? I think sometimes we get a little bit scared to change up what we've done in the past because there's almost like this sense of tradition and history. But I would be like, if it's not serving the purpose and not serving your church, call it a day and do something new. I think that's so exciting. I think we get a bit stuck in a schedule and a routine of this is how we do the event and this is what we'll do every year. So I think just allowing some time to stop and reflect to see if it's winning. And maybe it is winning, but maybe there's something that you can do to win more. Those are some of the things that I think we probably have gotten a little bit stuck in, is probably just the history of how we've worked events out in the past.
Yeah, well, I think even historically, your one point there about kind of just having one announcement on a Sunday, I think for a lot of churches, that's like everybody's ears pricked up when you said that, because it's like, hang on, like if we don't advertise all these events, then how will people know?
Exactly. And that's probably like a flow on from that, because like we should be relying on our connect group leaders, because they're like our number one fans. They're our biggest advertisements. So people want to come to events because their friends are going to events. How many of us here have gone to an Adele concert by ourselves? No one, I hope, you know, or going to any concert by themselves. Just feel
I love Adele.
I don't know. But like, it's actually just such a good example. Like, we shouldn't expect the same for our church members to rock up to an event by themselves. They should want to come with their friends in their connect group. So us telling people from the pulpit is probably not the most practical or relevant way to do it. It's definitely through our network of connect group leaders.
Say, Sarah, as associate pastor, you know, all of that kind of area is your area. So how do you guys do that?
So we just did away with announcements like last year. I remember we talked about it for like a year, because that's how long people needed to be okay with the fact that we weren't going to have announcements.
Was it an announcement at the church that there wasn't going to be
No, that was just like our intro. Yeah, for 1 year we told people that in a year we're not going to do announcements. And so I think all the staff was like, okay, but how will we really do that? And, you know, kudos to Pastor Sunny, who really had that in her heart, because it takes away from what we would say is our more important elements of the service, you know, having time for ministry and prayer, worship, the word. And so, you know, before you know it, you're 7 minutes deep in your run sheet on announcements, and that's 7 minutes that, you know, maybe could be better served somewhere else. So what we started doing at the end of last year is we have cards that we put out for every quarter. And so it forces us to do a few things. We have to be organized and strategic as a staff, because once that card is printed, it's printed, and it's printed for not only the next 3 months, but also we do a look ahead. So like yesterday was the first Sunday of Q3. So we had our Q3 cards out on the seats at the info desk, at the guest services tent, you know, all the places. And it has all the events that are happening in the next 3 months. And then it has a look ahead, as well as, like, you know, our QR code takes us to the website. And so the only thing we say is, hey, new cards out. Make sure you take one with you. We don't want you to miss anything. And we keep going. Now, if we have a massive, you know, there's we only really do two conferences a year, our youth camp, which is happening this week, and then our church-wide summer conference we got rid of, you know, several years ago. We realized that we were an event-driven church and not a connect-driven church, and so we just completely switched our calendar on its head. So, you know, we'll maybe do announcement for those kind of things. But things like our Next Steps pathway, which would be like our growth track membership, things like our connect groups, that kind of all just rolls into what we talk about as we're welcoming people into church. And that's more of like a culture thing versus a, hey, here's the details of this thing. And so it's either a story that we're sharing or something along those lines. But in terms of, hey, we've got this, you know, parenting seminar that's coming up on this day and this time, like we're not doing that. We've got the card, it's out. We've got, you know, again, connect group leaders, team leaders as well. You know, we're if you're volunteering on a Sunday morning, then we're wanting your team leader to be telling you that as well. And you know, Jacob, I couldn't agree more. And that's what we say all the time is, like, your email for your announcement is not going to get people there. Yeah. Your invite, you know, you texting somebody and saying, hey, I'm going to this, will you come with me, is absolutely what's going to get people there. So we've really shifted away from announcements. We don't do them, but we have the cards. And so that really makes us focus in, be really strategic. We have to have a plan. We're not adding things. We're not flying by the seat of our pants. It really forced us, like, we put out all the big dates, you know, at the end of last year, even the beginning of this year. And so now it's like, well, you know, book your vacations, do your things, but we're giving people ample time to plan. And then, you know, obviously they can do what they want. But I think when we, you know, don't give people time to plan, and then we also guilt trip them, you know, that's a little tough as well. So,
yeah, no, I love that. This is just great practical stuff for all of our different churches. And I know I can obviously, Sarah, you're talking there about like physical things. I think sometimes like we're like, oh, well, people don't take physical stuff anymore. Isn't it all digital, and isn't it all on social media? And I guess, Chrissy, as I know you guys within C3 Toronto, you do such a good job with all of your socials and comms. But I guess, can we talk into that a little bit at the moment with physical versus digital, and maybe in that digital and social media space, how you would go about promoting an event that was coming up?
Yeah, I mean, we use both. I think you can't, like, you can't just do one or the other, because, yeah, there are people in the church that like having physical copies, but then there's also other people that hate that. So I think having both options is a great thing. We love to, I mean, we've done a million different things to advertise different things, and it can be like, it doesn't need to be an event. It could be a service as well.
Right.
But we've done a billboard, like one time, and we've done, mail, like letterbox drops, through companies, but we've also done it through, like people, like actually like connect groups going around and dropping things.
Awesome.
We've advertised, like, sometimes the event software that we've used, is just a public forum, and that's been like a really great way. Like when it's an open public event, we did that once for Easter, and we had a massive giant Easter egg hunt. It was probably the biggest in the city, and it was just using the platform that we used. We didn't even need to, we had all this like paid marketing lined up. We didn't use any of it because it filled up before, like,
that's
we had it like 1,000 families signed up, and we had a wait list just from using the event software, which was free. So there's so many different things that you can do, but we also do paid marketing on Facebook, and a little bit on Instagram. So that's like definitely been something that works. We don't do it every time. So a couple of things that I would say is figure out, like, who are you trying to reach? You need to know, like, who am I trying to reach, and what do I want them to do? Am I just wanting them to come to the event and have a great time? Am I looking for them to join our church? So that was something when we initially started doing Facebook marketing, we were just doing a wide net to, like, we have a really spread out city. So we're just doing a wide net and marketed to the whole city. What we realized though was that people would come, but it's too far away from their, like, to make it their local church. Yeah. And so we started, to like refine that and to be doing like smaller nets, and smaller windows geographically so that they were close to locations. And one thing about the difference between Facebook marketing and Instagram is, well, Facebook's cheaper. It's about half the price of Instagram to be able to, for your like return, you know, like what you're going to get for clicks. And so we generally do Facebook more than Instagram. It's also like Facebook has a bigger demographic as well. And probably more of the demographic that we're looking for. It's not hard to attract young people to our church specifically because of where we're located. It is harder to attract families and like people that are like in that 40 plus like age group. So Facebook's awesome for that. And people that are on Facebook are generally they're on it because they're connected to family. And so that instantly, like, if you're marketing on Facebook, you're doing really, like, you're not doing advertising. And I think that's the biggest mistake that people make, is that we're not trying, like Sarah said, we're not trying to advertise an event where we want to inspire you, like why this matters to you. And so we will definitely, like, we don't put really high quality stuff. Doesn't mean it's not excellent. It just means it's not high quality. It's more grassroots, like, advertising, and that you'll see the local campus pastors. You'll see, we'll use terminology that actually relates to people that are unsaved, but also not to the point though that it doesn't reach church people. You kind of have to, like, be able to reach both. And so I think that's really important, that it's more conversational. I'm like, I want to attract people to be like, this is exactly what you're going to get. If people see your marketing and then they walk into your church and they're like, oh, that's a problem.
Yeah.
It should, like, if anything, when they walk into your church, it should be better than what they saw, and they should experience something that's better. And so I think be really careful with that, with your marketing, to make sure that it actually is a true reflection of your church. And that when people walk in, they're not going to be surprised in a bad way. Instagram is more of your branding platform. So it can be a little bit more creative, a little bit more polished, because it's you're reaching like influencers, you're getting clicks, you're getting forwards. And that's great. There's a whole market for that too. But we've just found that in terms of being able to get like more people engaged, we've found Facebook to be really good for that. But we don't do it for every event. We do it for very specific things that we're like, we really like, this is going to be a really great thing. It's got a festival, or it has something that is going to attract people that isn't just come and hear a great speaker.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. It has something that, yeah, will attract you in, and it's attached to a service. So it's not just like a great festival that like people don't get to experience church.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really important to make sure that things are connected. But engaging your church, like Sarah said, like doing mailbox drops that your connect groups are actually going out and doing that in their local area and chatting to people is a great idea. But we never rely on announcements to get the job done. People don't want information. They want to be inspired.
Yeah, love that. That's brilliant, Chrissy. So Hans, I guess from a practical point of view, when you're planning for an event, I know your context is very much Europe and regional gatherings, but just there's a lot of principles there in terms of planning an event. So give us a like a basic timeline of how you would bring an event together.
In the beginning of this podcast, Jacob mentioned like first understand why we do the things we do and what do we want to get out of it, right? I think that is key for everything we do, but also get a quick and early buy-in of some people, because you don't want to start carrying it from the beginning all by yourself. So before actually going off, finding venues or organizing things, get a few people around you. Do you know that their opinion matters? You want their thoughts, you want their experience. Like, what did you thought about last time? What were the wins out of? So always look back on the feedback of the last time you had. So understand, like, what are the things we can build on and what are the things we might not want to replicate or did not bring what we hope it would bring, and get that bit of an understanding. And for me, for example, when I would go for a regional gathering, but also if I would do an express boot camp or a pastor's day, when I'm going to look for venues, already try to get a few key team members along in it. So it's not just me knowing how and where we're going into, but there are multiple people that can carry it. So when actually things start to build up, and there will be a moment that any event manager has had once or a while that you were like, oh, there's too many things I have to do right now. Where do I start? If you have people along with you that have seen the venue, have seen things, they can carry things as well for you. So as Jacob said, you don't have to do everything by yourself. You need to do it with your team. And for me, in order to not lose your mind during the process, is just, be a good admin as well. Like, create a tracker for yourself with all the mainline things you need to follow up to, that at the moment that you're not sure where to start anymore, you just go to your tracker, for example, which says like, okay, on worship, we're here and we need to do this, this, and this. And if that is done, then we could go to that, that, and that. And you do that on different levels. So you can always track the process you're going through and have some milestones, because yes, you can organize it as an event manager. You can create it with your team, but you want to make sure that your pastor knows where you're at. So you want to make sure that he or she knows where are those milestones, so that they will have the questions or get an update in time. Because the most annoying thing I find is that when I'm working really hard and I forgot to bring them in the thought pattern, and then eventually they say, well, that's not what I meant. That's not what I wanted to go to. Can we do this, this, and this? Or if they would say, great idea, but can we add this, this, and this? You want to make sure you keep them in the loop so you're not getting those curveballs in your event. Because yes, you can carry it, but you need to be on your team needs to start carrying it as well. So if you every time come up with a curveball, your team is just feeling the pressure all the time, and you want to make sure that it goes smooth. And that's all with admin. That's all process and make sure you do what you say. Make sure that if you say, hey, can you do this, that you put a time to it. Not just ask somebody to pick something up, but also ask, hey, could you give me some feedback in 2 weeks' time? Can you let me know where you're at? And it's not always that they have to finish it, but you want to be aware where they're at. So you don't have to chase everybody, but people come to you as well where they're at. And if you're organizing things, those little things might be really easy or really logical. But if you don't do it, it becomes a lot of work you have to carry and pressure you're going to get.
Great. And look, if you want to talk process, just call Hans. We'll put his number in the details of this below. He'll talk to you about process, because the Dutch are very good at it. So thanks, Hans. Hey, hope you've been enjoying this episode of the C3 Church Global podcast. This event planning conversation is split into two. So this is episode one, and episode two will be released next week. So we'll be talking specifically around Christmas and Easter and some key church events coming up in the calendar. So make sure to like and subscribe and check in next week for episode two of this event planning C3 Church Global podcast.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you throughout the year around the world at our regional gatherings. Are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.